Are you waiting water?
No.
All right, let's rise for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. This is the March 5th, 2018 public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, and State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act in that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Butcher?
Absent.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
Mr. Tilda?
Absent.
Ms. Flyman?
Here.
Mr. Bargani?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Absent.
Here we go.
Mr. Filbert?
Here.
Mr. Shike?
Here.
And Mr. Sumay?
Here.
Before, Mr. Chairman, three words.
Thank you. We have a few meeting minutes that were previously distributed. So the first one is September 19th, 2016. Any questions or comments on those?
I have already made a couple of typographical changes that were sent to me from board members.
Good. Who is eligible on this one?
Everyone is eligible except for McTiernan, who is absent, and Mr. Pepper.
I was there.
2016?
September 19th.
2016?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, my mistake.
All right, so is there a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Thank you, Mr. Pepper. Roll call.
Ms. Butcher?
Absent.
Oh.
You didn't listen to me.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Kilda?
What's going on?
You know, you're badgering.
Yeah, I know.
I'm very distracted. I apologize.
I'm totally flustered. I'll stop.
Okay. Ms. Kleinhand?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Sumay?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Next up are the meeting minutes from October 17, 2016.
Those minutes will be carried to the next meeting. I did not
I
didn't finish
think I
those.
I saw those. All right, so let's.
Power. Exactly.
Yeah. We'll put those for next one. We have a resolution, and I did see that go out. I think I saw two versions.
Yes, version two. I assume you're talking about T-Mobile.
T-Mobile Northeast LLC.
Resolution 2018-02?
Correct.
So that's version two was February 25. And no comments since that version two, so that's all ready to be adopted.
And that was memorializing the waiver of site plan approval for the new antenna sections.
Right.
So the eligible members are on the agenda here. If there's no further discussion or comments or concerns, is there a motion to approve Resolution 2018-02?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it. Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhand?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
And Mr. Sumay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. The next resolution is Hunterdon Preparatory School, Block 13, Lot 3. And it's Resolution 2018-03, memorializing site plan approval and C2 variances to allow construction of a paver patio and gazebo.
One is dated March 1, version 1. And in order to be adopted.
Good. Is there any questions or comments or concerns on this resolution?
John, did you get my comments?
I thought you gave me on 2016-13. You gave me on an impress?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm looking at a version 2. Mine's version 2.
Tell you what.
Is it?
Just because we have that other resolution which is not on the agenda. What, can we just
postpone this?
Yeah, let's just postpone it to the next meeting. We have another resolution for LeCompte, an oldie, the last oldie that's not on the agenda.
So if this one's okay, let's just carry this to the next one. All right, we'll carry this one.
Can you resend?
But that's the same set.
Recent, you marked up version 1, and I didn't have version 2 with me, so let me get version 2 out and then mark up version 2. But can you just send me that email?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Make it the changes.
All right, new business. We have the approval of the vouchers. I have Denise sent them out to everybody, as is the process. I have reviewed them myself. I'm okay. Are there any questions on anything from the rest of the board? If not, I will make the motion to approve. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans. Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Simmel?
Yes.
Is the motion carried?
Thank you.
No.
We are now up to our public hearing. This is the Beaver Brook Urban Renewal Associates, LLC, Willows at Annandale Village, Block 60.03, Lot 26. This application was carried from February 21 without need for further notice.
Mr. Chairman, I need to recuse
him. Okay, Mayor Higgins is recusing and leaving.
For tonight?
We are going to have some new exhibits for tonight.
We're
going to
start with A12 for new exhibits. How many new exhibits do you think you have?
4 or 5, I think. So I think it's 4, we'll say 5 would be conservative.
Say 6 for belt and suspenders.
All right, so 6 for belt and suspenders. There you go. Y'all ready for me?
I
am. All right. Well, good evening, everybody. I'm Kate Coffey from Day Pitney. I'm here tonight on behalf of Beaver Brook Urban Renewal Associates, LLC. This is, as Mr. Chairman indicated, a continued hearing for our application for amended preliminary and final site plan approval. Our first hearing was on February 5th. And then we've been carried from February 21st. Just to refresh everyone's memory, what we're talking about is a proposal to construct 66 100% affordable housing units in 6 buildings on property located at block 60.03, lot 26, located at 70 Beaver Avenue, which is commonly known as the Beaver Brook Homestead. and reusing the existing historic main house structure as a community building. And this project is pursuant to the Beaver Brook Homestead Non-Condemnation Redevelopment Plan, which was adopted on January 27, 2016. How is my volume? Am I okay?
Great.
Good. Speed okay? Good. Okay. So with us tonight, we have returning Brett Skapanitz of Dynamic Engineering. He is the project engineer. He's going to be returning tonight to discuss modifications to the stormwater sewer system in response to comments and feedback that we received from the board and its professionals. He will be followed by Tom Bauer of Melillo and Bauer Associates, who is also returning to testify. He is the project's landscape architect, and he will be returning to discuss landscaping changes, also pursuant to comments that we had received from the board's professionals. And then after those two fellows make their return appearances, we will have Jim Haley of Haley Donovan, who's the project architect, Michael Kovacs, who is the project environmental consultant, and finally John McDonough, who's the project's planner. So with that, I'm going to have Brett, who's already up here, get started. He's already been sworn in, Mr. Drill.
Correct. And you remember you're still in the room.
I do.
Okay, so Brett, without repeating ourselves too much, why don't you walk us through what changes have been made to the plans in response to the feedback we had on the stormwater system?
Sure. And just for the record, what I'll be referring to are the revised site plans that we submitted that are dated February 22nd, 2018, on the basis of the one exhibit that I will be talking to, which indicates the proposed changes. On that note, when we walked out of the last meeting, we set up a meeting with Mr. Mulhall, Mr. Keller, to discuss changes with respect to the stormwater system, which was a primary topic at the end of that last meeting. And as a result, we modified the plans to illustrate bringing some more stormwater essentially into recharge basins, smaller ones on the site that will allow for essentially roof runoff to be captured from buildings 1, 2, 3, and 4, and go into the ground and recharge and flow off towards the northern end of the site and towards the wetlands.
Brett, can you take the mic?
That are associated with these
stream
to the north.
That's your first new exhibit.
My first new exhibit.
Which is going to be A12. So if you can come over here, take this tag, and put it in the lower right-hand corner, that would be great.
Is that not the same as what was distributed to the board?
Yes, it has, but this is color rendered.
Okay.
Yep.
Right, color rendered what? Read the plan?
Yes. This is an exhibit there entitled North Drainage Exhibit. Preparation date is today, 3/5/2018. And basically it's our grading plan of the site plan set that I've simply highlighted to show the two the stormwater features that we added into the plan in blue, and then to show the roof as well as ground areas that are going to be associated with flows to those basins and then sheet flow to the northern end of the
north
site.
Drainage what?
North drainage exhibit. So simply put, we are adding one basin in the northeast corner of the site, and that is to capture runoff from all of building number 4, as well as buildings 2 and 3, the front portions of buildings 2 and 3. Building number 1 will be routed such that it captures flow from the roof, the front portion of the roof to the basin, and the rear portion will flow over land. The rear portion of buildings 2 and 3 were always flowing to the north of the site via roof leaders that were dropping to the ground. However, consulting with your professionals, we added in a storm pipe, a 24-inch pipe with a series of inlets across them, essentially via a pipe wrapped in stone, perforated pipe that will allow water to flow into it Once it does reach capacity, and it's not designed for the 100-year storm, if we were to do that, it would be a much larger system, and because of the slope that we were working with on, working within, it would be extremely difficult to place there without significant grading and more impact to the wetland buffer area. We add that pipe, and that pipe will essentially overflow when it gets to a certain point, and then water will bubble out of those inlets and then trickle down the slope towards the wetland area. So one key point in our discussions was, you know, try and draw more, as much as we could, to this northerly end or to flow towards these basins. Building number four, I've shown some highly hashed lines. That represents the area of the building that under existing conditions, that land actually flows towards the southeast. Towards the southwest. So we're looking to pull that building roof area into that northeasternmost basin to help try and bring more or offset more of the area that was lost under the original plan. And that's the primary change. So too, with respect to that northerly runoff being brought to that area now, as a result of bringing that runoff to that area, we are essentially reducing the amount of volume of stormwater, therefore, that is going towards the above ground basin. So as a result of that change, we have the ability to do one or two things, or a combination of both, which would be to either raise the bottom of the basin or make the basin smaller in area, or a combination of both. And again, consulting with your professional, we decided to do a combination of both. So we had the ability to raise the bottom of the basin 1.5 feet. We chose to raise it 1 foot, which appeases Mr. Mulhall in our discussion about getting the stormwater in that basin to potentially flow better into the soils and permeate outwards away from the basin. And then to shrink the basin, we essentially took the leg of the basin on the northerly end and we pulled it closer towards Austin Hill Road. And by doing that actually helped with us to regrade the plan. One of the issues with Mr. Rosenberg was concern over some of the existing trees that we showed on the plan that we really weren't saving by way of our past grading plan. We had grades running through the area. We had utilities running through some of the trees, if you recall, those are his comments. What the shifting of the basin did, it allowed us to shift utilities away from a large tree that sits essentially between the community building and building number six. We employed then a small retaining wall to help keep us from grading within the area of the tree and the root system. Then what we also did is we were looking to regrade in the southeast corner of building number six, between that and the trash enclosure, pulling away one drainage pipe that was in that area in an effort to save yet another older tree that's situated in that corner. And so those were the main stormwater changes. While we were within the plan, we also took advantage of trying to take care of other comments by the professionals' letters. And that was outlined in my response letter on February 23rd to the board. The key being one was your fire official who issued a revised comment letter, or the primary focus of that letter. And you can see in the same exhibit, there are landscape islands, two of them, one located between buildings two and three. There's a landscape island, and then another landscape island that's located between buildings four and five. In the previous plan sets, those islands were offset in the center of the buildings between them. Between four and five was shifted further to the south, and the one between two and three was shifted further to the west. Mr. Mills commented to us that he had concern about getting to the fire department connections, which are going to be located in between those two buildings. Didn't have an issue with any of the other buildings on the plan, which is primarily where those would be between those two sets of buildings. And we offered to move those islands over so that way he has a clear path when he pulls up to pull in, draw hose to those FDCs. The note in his comment letter is simply the fact that when we did the revision to the plans, I didn't move the FDCs. The FDCs should be located in between those two buildings, shown on the outer ends of the buildings.
Mr. Scapin, it's just for the record, you're referring to Mr. Milne's letter of March 3rd, 2018, correct, when you're saying, and we will comply with that letter, just to be clear. Thank you.
And beyond that, additional comments were addressed by way of just notes from your engineer's letter, your planning letter. We covered them all within the letter, again, dated February 23rd.
And
what's the date of your response letter?
February 23rd, 2018.
Brett, we did receive some additional correspondence from the board's professionals in addition to the fire department's letter.
Yes.
One of those was a letter from Habitat by Design dated March 2nd, 2018.
Yes.
And I think we'll use the same system that we did the last time you were testifying. All comments therein, we either will comply with or we don't need to respond to, correct?
That's correct.
Great. And then similarly, we also received an updated report from the board's engineer dated March 2nd, 2018. Of those comments, I believe we previously addressed all of them with the exception of comment number 3. Regarding the high water table, let me make sure I get to it. Move on. Pages are sticking.
No.
Mine on that?
No.
No.
Page 7.
Oh, there. Thank you. I was on the wrong page, but not in the wrong spot. So, and this comment, is it your preference that I read the comment aloud?
Yeah.
Okay. So this comment reads, Supplemental Stormwater Management Report, the Geotechnical Investigation Report. Okay. The Geotechnical Investigation Report, prepared by Melick, M-E-L-I-C-K, dash Tully, T-U-L-L-Y, and associated PC indicates rapid groundwater seepage was encountered 2 feet 9 inches down into test pit number 104, which is near the proposed underground detention basin behind buildings 2/3. The applicant shall address the high groundwater in this area and discuss how this will potentially affect the performance of the proposed underground detention basin's ability to recharge groundwater by routing runoff from the roofs to the proposed basin. So can you just talk about that for us, Brett?
Sure. We don't believe there should be a negative impact there. We've got the ability. In this case, we're providing some fill within that area, the proposed basin. But more importantly, I believe that we have the ability to go out and shift slightly that basin to not be of impact by that test pit after taking a look at it further. So I don't believe there's going to be a negative impact. One of the things, too, though, with this basin, with these underground basins, the fact that they are taking on the roof runoff, they do ended up having an overflow system within them. They're sized for the 100-year storm of flow, and they do have an overflow that would allow runoff, should it peak within those basins, to not bubble out of the basin and affect the parking lots, but they go then towards the above-ground basin in the southwest corner.
So can you – you should – Kathy, should – do you
– I just wanted to
I heard you mention fill, but that doesn't right.
So just to clarify, the basin to the I guess would be the northeast.
Northeast. Yes.
The larger blue basin there.
In the upper left hand corner of Exhibit A 12.
Correct. Yes.
There's a test pit located within there that shows rapid groundwater seepage at elevation, I think 275.25.
Yep.
What is the bottom of that underground basin elevation?
That basin in that location, actually that basin in that location is 266.5. So yes, it is down below that location, but the consensus of speaking with our soils engineer was, and I was speaking about, I was thinking of the test pits down in the the western location. The basin, the pits in that location, when we talked to our consultant, and again, consulting with Mr. Mulhall, the consensus was that there wouldn't be an impact in that location. There wouldn't be groundwater seepage in that location. To our best of our knowledge, wasn't an indication necessarily of seasonal high groundwater. It was something that, again, I think it was part of, speaking to my engineer, to the geotechnical engineer, it was more of a, almost like a first order situation. But again, going back and forth with them, it was not something that they felt was going to be an issue with respect to that basin. I can only rely on their testing, and then ultimately in the end, that was the location that after consulting with Mr. Mall, he was there and witnessed it. Now, I did not. He witnessed it and felt that that was a prime location for the basin based on what he saw and witnessed of the test results. So clearly, I have the ability with that smaller basin to shift it if there and do additional test pits in that location, but the reality is I think that that spot should not be negatively impacted for that roof by that roof runoff going in that location.
Yeah, I have a concern that the intent of providing for infiltration is to recharge the wetlands to the rear of those buildings,
yep.
And you're putting in a basin, potentially adding below the groundwater table, that's not really going to do that. It's going to just flow in and flow out. So I just have concern. I mean, if you say you're going to have additional test pits and we can find a location for that basin that you won't have the basin submerged all mm-hmm. times, that mm-hmm. it's not a seasonal high groundwater issue, that it's just a yeah. perch groundwater issue,
yeah.
I'd be comfortable. But
yeah.
not having additional data, I don't feel comfortable in that location.
Yeah, because that situation didn't appear to occur in the other pits, not, you know, to the
yes, that's
to the
true.
West.
That's true.
Which
yeah.
is what led the belief to be that it was just a unique condition in that one location as a perch condition more than, you know, the fact that we weren't hitting groundwater really in any other spots. We were going down pretty deep and not hitting groundwater in any of the other pits, even at lower elevations.
So,
Matt, you were there, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have on the site, you have a couple little spots that you have hard, dense shale, and the water sit on top of that shale. That's actually one of the concerns with why I asked for the basin to be raised. And so you're going to have a couple spots, and you're going to have to work around those as you put these basins in a little bit. Because right next to it, you're going to get all the water to run drain down through the fractured shale. And just it's the nature of the rock, unfortunately, on this particular site, is you're going to have a couple little spots. That's why when they did the work in the one section, if I can just walk the map. Originally, there was talk about putting the basin up in here, mm-hmm. but the problem is you have a shallow groundwater table, and not only that, they filled it, basin flooded. So I think it's going to have to be adjusted, maybe size-wise a little bit, but it's going to have to be one of those things where when you're in the field, you're going to have to take a look at it.
And the larger basin, Matt, I mean, you're comfortable with that location and the test pit data that, because I thought that was the location, test pit 104 is located. Am I wrong on that?
Is that exhibit show where test pit 104 is?
I think it's hidden by text, but if you look at one of the other plans.
And if it's just
sort of 104 is in, it's actually in building 3. See a test pit located in building 3? That's test pit 104.
That's right. 104 is off to the
north. Right. And how about 103? What do we have at 103? They have groundwater seepage at 11. So you still have, you have groundwater seepage at 11 feet at 103, correct?
And you're building, you're going to allow some of that mountain upward above that, too.
Yeah, 11 feet, which would be at 260.
You're basically putting it into the fraction shale with the tent inside itself down.
Okay.
You're going to have to get 260. We're 6 feet above that.
267.
260.
If you look at what the existing elevation is,
yeah,
and then
track. So you said it's at 11 feet below?
Yep.
And the elevation there is 271.
As long as Matt feels comfortable with the groundwater elevations and the proposed
that one in particular, I was very comfortable. I walked back there. I was back there when Melitelli was excavating for the septic. And that area was there. I know in looking at it and some of the work they did up there, water would disappear. And it's actually one of the areas I suggested to Brett to consider. And I think it was originally part of their plan. And Melitelli had suggested the same thing because the shale, if there is a fracture, that they it's highly likely the water. Even with 104, we saw a lot of fractured shale beneath some of that seepage. So.
Okay. You got the hearing, what you're hearing, you now satisfied?
Yes.
I don't have additional questions for Mr. Skaffinis, but if the board or its professionals or the public do, we're happy to answer them.
Let's do the professionals first. Anything else from you guys? Yes. So.
Brett, did you receive my comments?
March 1.
I did.
Plan comment 2.
He wants to know.
I've been ignored before. It's okay.
And Mr. Bauer is coming.
No, I'm not so much worried about okay. Mr. Bauer. I was addressing these comments directly to
sure, that's fine.
To the plan as that was submitted to our office. So.
Sure.
So comment number 2.
Yes, starting with A is simple.
Yeah, A is adding a seed mix with respect
to
the...
Put it this way. Do it like you did the other.
Okay, I'll be your Van White. I'll read it. Okay. So this is comment 2A that we're talking
about. Put it this way. If there's a comment that you disagree with, bring it up. If you're going to say, yeah, you can deal with comment 2A, then don't mention it because by not mentioning it, I'll make it a condition.
So comments 2B... And 2C, or sorry, 2B1 and 2B2 no objection to.
Okay.
And just for the record, we're talking about the March 1st memo.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Comment 2A, do not object, but want to bring this comment up simply because of my discussions with Mr. Mulhall, and our discussion about the bottom of the basin, whether to seed the very bottom or as per my plan, having a sand bottom there and allow for quicker infiltration of water that gets into the basin. I don't necessarily object either way. I can make it work and put a topsoil layer and plant seed it at the bottom, at the top, or leave it as a sand bottom as I have it proposed.
So the reason this comment started, I talked to Mr. Keller over here, and then we had a discussion about, I think it was a board comment about someone or children getting down into the basin and playing since there's not that much open space. So I just thought, and you have more experience with these basins than I do, but if everybody bulldozes up your basins as a play field, then if it's sand, I don't know. I just thought it would be more functional as turf, but I would defer to these gentlemen to my right here.
Brett, you had agreed with my memo, which says put a layer of soil over top of a geosynthetic liner on top of the sand and then seed it.
That's fine. Okay. And we'll go that route.
I'm not in disagreement at all, but, I mean, my point for the sand was I'm trying to disperse the water over the broadest area and allow it to actually infiltrate slower than Brett was talking about initially, because what I don't want is my concern with the first plan was I did not want short circuits. I would have liked to have brought the basin up higher, but it was like a compromise. I brought it up a foot at least. I'm happy with that. But the intent is to allow the water to infiltrate slowly, dispersed over a broader area, I agree with these guys. I like the idea of putting a grass layer on top of it, a geosynthetic material on below the grass, so that you get the natural filtration that occurs with the grass and the kids are playing on it. Because kids will play in the basins. They always do. Yeah. So I'm in favor of that idea, too.
And we will comply with that.
Comply with this comment. Okay, so just for my purposes, you already agreed in Habitat by Design's memo dated March 2, 2018, to comment number 5, which includes to maintain the ability to provide the grass-covered basin bottom originally proposed and modified for Mr. Bosenberg, a topsoil layer should be installed over the sand with the sand and overlying topsoil separated by a geosynthetic layer to maintain the integrity and functionality of the sand layer. And then that means you also agree then with Mr. Bosenberg's memo dated March 1, 2018, with his comment 1 that says drawings have been revised to reflect most of our, 2A, the seed specification shall be updated to reflect the use of
fescue
meadow seed mix for most of the site as specified by Melillo and Bauer. Please include, it's going to be include the seeding specifications for the bottom area of the stormwater detention basin. You would agree with that also?
Yes.
And those are consistent, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And Brett, just regarding the remainder of Section 2 of Mr. Bosenberg's memo with regard to our plans, the rest of those comments are all items that we will comply with, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then the remainder of Mr. Bosenberg's memo, Mr. Bauer will address.
We'll address, correct.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else on the professionals for this? Professional? Anybody from the board have any questions?
I have a couple questions. I noticed on the original plans, the site plan, and maybe it's not for you, it might be for the landscape architect. The wall has changed from it's more rectilinear now than it was originally. What was the reason for that?
You're talking about the wall.
The retaining wall.
Within the basin?
Yeah, the retaining wall.
That was as a result of comments from Mr. Bosenberg.
And reorganizing the...
Correct.
With the trees and such.
Yes.
What is the distance of the wall from the existing historic structure?
The community
building? Future community building.
To the main structure?
Yeah.
At Beaver Avenue, it's about 18 feet away.
From the wall to the structure.
From the wall to the structure is about 18 feet. There's the porch or extension out this side. I'm not counting it to that.
The old entry, yeah.
Main structure, 18 feet. And then off the porch on the Boston Hillside is 5 feet separation there.
And the depth of the wall is 8 feet, I think, if I read this.
It varies.
Yeah, it slopes down.
Its deepest point, the deepest part is 9 feet at the corner, that south west corner, and then it gradually goes up to zero as it runs up along to the east. The same thing with respect to going to the north, we're at, actually, sorry, it's 11 feet of the location. It's right here. It's going from 9 to 11, and then it goes up quickly after about a 25-foot stretch at that 11-foot height, then it goes up sharply with the basin.
Was there any consideration for the depth of that basin with the existing foundation of the existing structure?
There will be. There's going to need to be...
There's a lot of earth movement and stuff. And
absolutely. Yeah, no, there has to be care taking place with strict excavation around that exterior area and sheathing
and shoring and such.
To keep itself from moving a long way from that foundation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else for this one? Anybody from the public for this witness?
All right, let's give him the microphone, and you use the table mic. Can you identify yourself?
My name is Doug Coder.
Can't hear you. Do it again. We heard you before. Okay.
Is the mic working?
Yeah. Yeah, I might want to try this.
Yeah, try
this
that.
Is much more sensitive. Okay. We'll switch mics here with you. Speak right into it.
I'm Doug Pakoda. I'm on the Environmental Commission.
Can you spell your last name?
P-E-C-O-T-A, and my first name is Doug, D-O-U-G. And we had a question about the basin located at the corner of Austin Hill and Beaver Avenue. It has a spillway evaluation elevation of 266 feet, and the downstream outlet pipe inverter has an elevation of 252 feet. This difference would make the classification difference a regulated dam. We want to know what you're going to address that, how you're going to address that.
Yeah, I can address that. The measurement that's taken for with respect to a dam is not taken from the invert of the piping itself. It's based on your water surface elevation and then the elevation at the total slope within the basin. So our water surface elevation is going to be no higher than 266 is our spillway, and the total slope of the basin on the outside is 262, so the differential of under 5 feet, so we don't classify it as a dam. That's how the measurement is taken. It's not taken from the top of the basin spillway elevation down to the pipe in which it's discharging to.
Okay.
Any other questions from anyone? One from the public for this witness. No.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Skapinas. Mr. Bauer, you're up next. And Mr. Bauer, you were previously sworn.
Yes, I was. Good evening.
Yeah, and just for the record, can you spell your last name?
Yes, B-A-U-E-R, Bauer.
And you realize you're also still under oath.
Yes, I am.
Okay, Mr. Bauer, can you give us an overview of the landscaping changes that were made since you were last before the board on this application?
Certainly. When we were last here, you recall, we presented some illustrations, some three-dimensional computer graphic elevations. At the time, I was asked to prepare several cross-sections through the basin. For your information, I have those exhibits here this evening. There are three of those, Mr. Drill, if we want to mark those now.
Yep. Why don't you bring them on over, put them in order that you're going to refer them.
That order's fine.
These can be detached and folded.
They can. I'm going to unclip them and give them all to you. Yes. So these will be A13, 14, and 15.
Right.
So why don't you start off by identifying for the record A13, then A14, and then A15.
Three, as I said, A13, A14, A15. A13 is a site section through the intersection of Beaver Avenue and Austin Hill Road. And I'm referring to Exhibit A2, previously utilized, which is a rendered site plan. That section will be taken directly through the corner, as I'm indicating. The second section, go ahead and describe these as I'm going, Mr. Drill.
No, set it up. Let's go through.
A14
yep.
Is a section through Beaver Avenue. To the basin, as I'm indicating this location, a site section through Beaver, and the last one is a site section through Austin Hill Road. Take it in this direction. So those three sections. So I'll start here with the last one, A15, Austin Hill Road. And if you folks can see, we have the community center, the decorative stone retaining wall with the basin elevations that have been changed. In fact, the wall height has been lowered a little bit also. So in effect, we have lowered the wall elevation by about 2 feet by lowering the wall a foot and raising the basin.
So that's coming down Austin Hill toward, where is that car on that picture?
Yeah, this car is sitting right here.
Right.
So this is a section.
Got it.
Cut it right through here.
Yep, I can.
This building to Austin Hill Road.
I see.
So the road is at this elevation. You can see the dashed line represents the existing slope. You can see we're digging that out. That's our new basin. The heavy black line indicates the proposed slope. So you can see there's really very little change from the existing grade from Austin Hill Road up to the top of the berm.
You're saying there's very little change in what you would see.
That's correct.
From Austin Hill Road.
That's correct. Yes.
But that does show how the excavation is pretty close to that foundation
right.
on that old building, it looks
that's
like.
Correct. That's correct. The previous cabinets indicated that's got to be done carefully. Right. Yes. Okay. If we go to 14, where did I put that? Here we go. A14 is a section through Beaver Avenue, which is taken right here, directly from the community center through the basin out to Austin Hill Road. And you can see, again, dashed line represents existing topography as it is today. The heavier black line indicates the future grade following excavation and regrading. And again, as you can see, very little change in grade from what you'll see today to what you will see in the future. And the basin is hidden from the line of sight of the road. You will not see the basin from that location.
Mr. Bauer, just a point of clarification. You said the sections from the community center to Austin Hill. I think you meant to say community center to Beaver.
Did I say Austin? No, I do mean Beaver. Correct.
Okay, just the.
And that's this location.
Because it's
community
a little.
Center to Beaver.
Confusing.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't mean to be confusing. And the last section is taken at the. I'm sorry. That was Beaver. The first one was the intersection. This one was Beaver. And this one is, did I do Austin Hill Road first?
Yes.
I'm going the wrong way. Now I am confusing. Okay, let me go back to the intersection now.
Start again.
All right, so we started with Austin Hill.
The last one is at the intersection. I did Austin Hill and I did Beaver. Now I'm going directly to the intersection at the corner from the community center directly out to the corner. That's site section.
So that car is sitting on the intersection effectively?
Right. That car is basically at the corner, sir, yes.
Okay.
Right here.
Letter D on the A2.
Yep, that's where view D was previously. Okay, see, this is our longest dimension. Again, the road is low. This is the low point of the site. Again, dashed line is existing grade. As you can see, ever so slightly, we're changing the grade just a little bit at the top of that berm, and we're going back down. Again, so really for what we're seeing is that the line of sight from the roadway all along that basin area is really, the basin is really very little visibility of the wall. Very little, if any.
Where's the fence on top? Is there a fence on top of the wall?
Yes, there is. There's a 42-inch high post rail fence with a welded wire fabric across it for protection, and that's at the top of the wall. Okay? I will also say that, again, some of the modifications that we've done in coordination with Mr. Bosenberg, we've added plant material along the basin, both deciduous trees, evergreens, and some ornamental trees. We have modified the circulation pattern along the community center to address the existing conditions. We've addressed and coordinated grading with Mr. Skapinets, and because there is some grade change within the community center floor plan itself, so that has been addressed. We've added a few retaining walls to save existing trees, as Brett indicated earlier, I think our plans are fully coordinated at this point in time. Mr. Bosenberg has asked for a couple of additional items, which we have fully agreed to. One had to do with the mix of the fescue, the seed mix. Glad to do that. And in fact, that's the same seed mix that will be located around the site in lieu of many of the foundation plantings that we had previously testified to. So that very naturalized seed mix will be continuous throughout the site. And I think, last item is that, just to clarify, the stone is going to be a wet-laid stone wall. Natural and hip stone to match what is existing on the site today. And I think, Kate, that covers all of the items, unless I missed them.
We've added a patio to link the porch.
That's the site circulation I mentioned.
Yep.
Around the building. We coordinated that.
Okay.